Welcome to Show Yourself, a podcast about managing through hardship and maintaining strong mental health. We encourage you to come as you are with an open mind and an open heart. My name is Sam.
And my name is Maggie. We're excited to embark on this journey with you, but first we have some important information and disclaimers that need to be shared. One, because of the nature of this podcast, we will be covering potentially triggering themes such as alcohol use and disordered eating. This podcast is not meant to glorify or romanticize any aspects of the recovery journey. However, details of our personal experiences may be used to help provide insight to the process.
Two, we are not licensed mental health professionals. We have not received prior training in the field of substance abuse or clinical psychology. The only thing we can speak to is our past and present as we have dealt with these struggles firsthand. We can speak about treatments and strategies that have worked for us, and also what hasn't worked for us. So please take any advice or discussion as you see fit.
How's it going?
All right, we're on episode 6 today.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, this is episode 6. So all we need is 660 more to summon the devil.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
666. Six, six.
That's how it happens.
Oh, okay. Is that how it happens through podcasts? And Sam's opening a beer next to me.
No, it's not.
Really testing.
It's a LaCroix?
LaCroix?
I have no idea. It's lime flavored.
Lime yelled at it one day, and that's why it's kind of has the essence of lime.
Was that a joke?
Yeah.
It went right over my head, I think, because I'm so thirsty. Stop drinking all of my LaCroix.
It's actually not the worst in the world, but it's not good.
Oh, yeah. That's refreshing. Anyway.
What an intro.
Yeah.
Jesus. We're really jumping the shark here, folks.
We're not jumping the shark. Do you think we're jumping the shark? Episode 6. We're just like,
it's
done.
A minute in and we're talking about LaCroix, babe. Oh, we're not supposed to do that either. Ma'am.
Ma'am. Friend. Gal pal.
Mambo number 5.
Mm. I do like Mambo number 5 quite
Isn't
a bit.
Isn't that just like a list of people he slept with?
Yes.
That's like the
I
song.
I think so. Anyway, welcome to episode 6, everybody.
So
we are happy that you're here with us, in for this ride.
She made me get dressed.
Yep.
And now I'm grumpy.
Yeah. Maggie's grumpy because she's wearing sweatpants and a t-shirt.
It's too much. It's too hot out.
Yeah, whatever. Get over it, you big baby.
Give me half some of that. I'll drink this while you talk about our check-in topic.
Okay. You have to talk about it, too.
Mm-hmm.
It can't just be all me. Anywho. Today, our check-in topic is about queeros, which, if you don't know what that means, it is an amalgamation of the term queer and hero. So,
oh boy,
we're going to be talking about queer people who have maybe inspired us or allowed us to come into our own a little bit more, or maybe people.
Do they have to be famous?
No, I don't think so.
Good, because I don't care about famous queeros.
I don't have a ton of famous. Like, I don't follow a lot of famous queer people, and that's not to say that, like,
I'm... Miss me with that Ruby Rose shit.
No, it's just, like...
I'm calling her out.
Okay.
On this podcast.
Jeez. All right, we're not going to tag her in this, then. But, I don't mean to say that I don't follow queer celebrities in that, like... Like, I definitely do. I follow a bunch of them on my social media
like,
and on Instagram.
Look up to them
yeah. Because, like, a lot of the queer people that I followed recently We're from, like, Are You the One, which is an MTV dating show. And I don't look up
to them. Yeah.
They're great. They're fine people. You kind of see the worst of where they're at when they're on, like, an MTV dating show, though.
Yeah, I think you're at your lowest if you're on an MTV dating show. Like, I was watching clips of...
Did you just burp, by the way? I'm not letting that slide.
You are awesome. Thank you. Room Invaders. Remember that?
Room Invaders?
Yeah, like... Three chicks would be in a van while some...
Is that what it was called? It was called Room Invaders?
Hot dude would go through their bedroom while they were in the van.
No, it was called Room Raiders,
Room Invaders.
I was like, Invaders really doesn't roll off the tongue.
Room Raiders.
Yes.
That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
But they're at their lowest point.
My other favorite MTV dating show was called Next. Did you remember Next?
Oh, that was brutal.
Where they, like...
I think one guy would walk off, she'd be like, Next. Like, it was brutal.
He'd walk off the bus, and she'd be like, Nope, Next.
That one was mean, man. They were, oh, you like Pepsi instead of Coke? Well, I know that... Whatever, Next. Like, it was just so cruel and unusual.
It really was. But I have to bring this topic back to Queeros, because we gotta...
Yeah.
It was my fault, though.
Yeah.
I was talking about Are You the One.
Like, come on,
then
man.
Then we talked about Room Invaders / Room Raiders. And then we talked about
Space
Next.
Room Invaders.
So ridiculous.
Okay, so who are your Queeros?
Is it super corny to say the children I work with?
No.
So, being able to work with queer youth, and when I say youth, I'm talking children anywhere between the ages of, like, 10 to 14, was really, or it has been, because I still continue to work with queer youth today, a really rewarding and inspiring and even enlightening experience for me. When I first started working in the role that I still work in now, I identified as heterosexual and had only been in relationships with men up until that point, even though I think I was, like, toying with or maybe repressing the belief that I was also into people that identified as the gender that I identify as, which is lady.
Lady. We're reliable with the ladies.
Being able to engage with and interact with young people who really know themselves and are really brave, and are totally okay with who they are and with sharing their identity or identities with their peers and friends and adults in their life too, made me more willing to come out to other people in my life. And that was like 2.5 years ago, I want to say. So I came out socially with friends on New Year's of 2017 going into 2018. And then from there, it was sort of like a slow process of coming out to family members and other people in my life, coworkers or colleagues. And I feel like every day is still like a coming out kind of, like, I feel like it's never like you just come out once and it's done.
Oh,
right? Like, you're always coming out to other people all the time.
Or you're always outing yourself or choosing not to when the situation or the person applies.
Sure.
You know?
So it's been a really interesting couple of years, but I'm super thankful that I have people in my life that have supported me during this process. And I'm really proud of the choice that I made to come out, because it's just a totally different and freer life than what I was living before. And I have really amazing, awesome kids to thank for that. So those are my queeros, my little babies.
Little babies.
I love them so much.
They seem pretty cool.
They are. They're very cool. Who's your queero?
I don't want to say.
You don't want to say?
Because then her head, that's already like 80 sizes too big, or their two heads that are already 80 sizes too large will get even bigger.
Who?
Erica.
Aw, Erica!
Like when I was a kid, like when I was younger. I'm my queero now. But if I had to choose somebody else, it would be Erica.
Okay, so why is Erica is our mutual friend. But, okay, wow, you just...
I love you so much. I'm just messing. I know she's going to say something.
Our mutual friend, but was friends with Maggie first for a long time, like since high school, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's...
She's going to eat this up, I'm telling you. Before I came out to my parents, I was like out to everybody, and I had met Erica... A very funny fashion. I don't even think she knows how we met, and I'm not even going to say it. But,
Tell me after?
Yeah, it's, like, so lame, but...
Oh, my God, I'm so excited.
It's really... Don't get your hopes up. It's very boring. I'll just say it. Should I just say it?
Yeah!
No, I was really, like, needed a gay friend or something, and I went on MySpace, and at that time, you could search people and put parameters in. So I did, like, women interested in women, mm-hmm. and I found fucking stupid-ass Erica.
And I love that.
We were, like, cyber friends.
That's how friends were made. I mean, I know people probably meet online, like, all the time now. Maybe. I don't know how young people meet anymore.
I don't know either.
I don't know. But I know that, like...
Snapping TikToks at each other?
Like, I don't know. But when we were younger, it was definitely not out of the ordinary for people to meet online. Like, on MySpace or LiveJournal.
LiveJournal.
Yeah!
That's where you go to get moited.
Ooh! Really? Yeah, that's where I put all of my, like, sad thoughts, was on LiveJournal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
So, we met that way, which is pretty funny. I don't know how the conversation started, whatever, but we've been friends ever since, and I saw that she was, like, out and had friends and a family that loved her and, like, was quote-unquote cool, you know? She looked pretty cool. She is pretty cool. But that is and my friend Liz, who I'll never forget. I had a little crushy washy. Her husband listens to this podcast too, which is pretty funny.
Oh, wow.
Woo! Little crushy washy in high school. And one day I was like lying to myself and I was like, I'm not gay. And then she just gave me this look. I've never gotten a look like that from someone before. It was like, not high school, like early high school. And she looked at me like through my soul and she's like, you're not. I was like, uh-oh. And that's how I knew. So it's like Liz helped me come out to myself and Erica helped gave me courage to come out to other people. Which, like, look at me. It wasn't that much of a surprise. But you also don't want to, like, hear that. Just hinting at people, like, pro tip. If someone comes out to you and you already knew, don't say that.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. Don't be a dingus.
It's so rude. What do you mean by that? That's like when I tell people I'm a Leo and they're like, oh.
Well, no.
That doesn't surprise me.
That actually makes a lot of sense to me that you're a Leo.
But they say it in a way I don't appreciate.
Oh, well, I just say it in a way that,
they're
like,
ugh, makes sense. I'm like,
what do you mean? It does make sense because you're, like, very into material things.
Yep.
You love things. You love to buy things.
Love them. I bought two things while we've been sitting here.
Have you really?
No, I just joined two raffles.
Oh, my goodness. Ah! But that's Maggie's thing. She loves things, and that's, like, a Leo... Or supposedly
allegedly.
A Leo. Yeah, like a Leo trait. But anyway, astrology has
no bearing on this conversation.
So
but yeah, just pro tip. Don't be like, it doesn't surprise me. Nobody wants to hear it.
I can give you a bunch, like a script. I have a whole pages of things that you could say to someone. And if you just look it up online.
I'm sure I've said the wrong things, too.
Sure.
Definitely. Like,
I probably have at some point in my life.
Someone told me that he was thinking he might be bi and he was in college. I'm like, you're in college. Suck him up.
Ew.
You might have to delete that.
Oh,
and I don't think
God.
That was the response that he was looking for.
No, absolutely not.
I was just trying to encourage him to explore.
That's gross, Maggie. Oh my gosh, I can't. And this is coming from a person who's like gone through the experience of coming out.
Yeah.
So like, you should know better.
I mean, if someone said that to me, I'd be like, okay.
You're a sicko.
Yeah, that's true. I think you should leave it in.
Nah, I'm gonna leave it in.
Nice.
Oh my gosh.
That's pretty funny.
But those are our queeros. Oh, the other thing that we should mention is that this topic was proposed by a friend and listener. Alyssa suggested this a couple weeks ago, or maybe last week. I don't know. Time. What is time? In quarantine, anyway.
I'm not even in quarantine anymore. What? I'm working.
I know, but, like, I don't...
What is time during all of this?
Yeah, like, what is time in COVID?
Gestures around the world.
It's just... I don't know. But thank you, Alyssa, for suggesting that topic. It was a fun one to reflect on, and I'm happy that you are engaged with our content and you like listening to us. So thank you so much. The other thing I want to just preface is that if I sound a little funny, it's because I was sick the past couple days. It's not COVID. Don't worry. I know you still can't get COVID over the internet and through streaming, but I just want to say if I sound like a weirdo, it's because I was getting over a really weird cold that had a lot of different phases.
So lots.
It was like...
Paranoia. Stress. Sleepless nights. Quarantining.
I did quarantine for a little bit because I didn't know if it was...
That's Stitch whining. Aww. She wants our attention.
The dog wants our attention. Hey, baby. I gave her some kisses. Just so you don't... Anyway.
If she has any good things to say, I'll make sure to leave them, you know.
Who, Stitch?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I wonder what she thinks about some of these topics.
She's probably like, shut the fuck up and feed me. Oh, my goodness. Are you ready for our first letter?
Yeah.
Okay. So our questions for today are family edition, meaning that family members who love us and submitted questions are the questions that we're going to be answering today. So, yeah.
Yay.
Thanks, fam.
Thanks, family.
So, our first question comes from Timory from Brooklyn. And she has a two-parter. She's hitting us hard with this. So, the first part of her question says, what quote-unquote helpful behaviors of friends or fam do you find to be challenging or even a hindrance to your recoveries? The second question is, this has probably more to do with sobriety. What fears did you have about changing your lifestyle, and did those challenges or fears feel as real while you encountered them?
I'm going to answer that backwards.
Alrighty, go for it.
My fear was that I was going to be no fun and be terrible in groups and just, like, not have a good time, not being able to have a good time or relaxed, not drinking, and just stressed about the future. I was, you know, it was right before the vacation. I mentioned that before, and I was stressed about the vacation and, like, what my day-to-day living was going to be like without it. And, like, generally it's fine. I do feel weird around groups, but I've always really have. And I'm already exhausted socially when I get off of work.
Right.
You know, so it's hard to turn that back on again. And I was definitely relying on alcohol as a crutch. I've been in groups since, and it's been okay. You know, if there's, like, a lot of drinking, it's hard. you know?
Sure.
And, like, no one really wants to... It's hard to be around some people who are drunk when you are sober. It's funny, someone in my life is going through it right now. He's like, oh, I gotta go out with a friend, but since I stopped drinking, I don't feel really feel like hanging out with him. It's like, yeah, I know. I know what it's like. So that's a struggle. The first question, the helpful behaviors,
mm-hmm.
I've thought about this a lot, actually, because this question was asked, like, after our first week, or even before our first week, so I've been thinking about this question a lot. I don't know. Because, you know, I don't want to call out Sam, but I'm gonna. But, like, you always ask me if it's okay to have a drink when we're, like, out to dinner, and you're like, are you sure it's okay to have wine? And, like, it is. And I feel like sometimes it, like, shines a light on it when it's brought up that, like, you know what I mean? Like, are you sure it's okay? And I'm not trying to call you out, but, like, you're the only person that I've been hanging out with since COVID started. And I'm tired of your shit, and I'm airing it out on the podcast.
That's all right. I had a feeling this is where the podcast was going to go at some point.
But, yeah, no, like, just things like that. Like, I don't need to be babied, you know? No, I'm not saying you baby me.
Okay.
But, like, I don't need to be oversought, and I think I've said that before, too. And I've had people, like, overly check in on me, and I don't really like that either. But I know they're just trying to be helpful.
Right.
What about you?
I feel like Timmery, you said that the second question has more to do, or you thought the second question has more to do with sobriety, but I can actually definitely apply this to an eating disordered perspective. You asked what fears you had about, or what fears I had, or I don't know how to word it at this point, but what fears existed that came with a change in the lifestyle. And there were a lot of fears that existed for me when I started changing my lifestyle. And my lifestyle goes through phases in terms of the really, I guess it has to do with my job and when it's sort of like an off season versus an on season. And where I've been working in different locations and how that affects my role and my hours and what I do and things like that. And I feel like there's always been this pattern of things are changing in my life and that's going to change my lifestyle by default because I don't have control over what my schedule is. Like I get told that I'm working these days, these hours, and that's it. And when those things change... especially right after I graduated college, it was scary because up until that point, I dictated what my schedule was in college. Up until the last semester before I graduated, I think I was only going to class 2 days a week and the other days I was home. And I know it sounds great, but those other 3 days I was exercising a lot and probably I don't recall at this point, but probably not eating as much as I should have been. And then once I started going to work 5 days a week and had a much more regular and regimented schedule, my lifestyle changed and I couldn't devote all of my time to exercise anymore. And that kind of still applies even during my off periods, like right now versus this time in a couple of weeks, I'm not going to have the ability to exercise as much, and it kind of freaks me out. I'll be really, really honest. But I'm trying to remember that the exercise and the movement really has almost no effect on what my body looks like. Necessarily, because when I'm moving, I'm not moving in a way that is designed to build muscle necessarily. I'm moving in a way that's supposed to just be enjoyment and just supposed to be fun.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
It does.
I'm kind of, like, just talking out of my butt right now. Like, my butt's, like, facing the microphone and it's going, like,
like, oh, that's, boy.
That's what I feel like I'm saying.
I don't think that's true at all. But you really went with the fart noises.
I did.
Okay.
My favorite subtitle ever was from that South Park episode where those people had butts for faces and they were crying and it was like...
Fart blubbering. Or blubber farting or whatever it was. It was terrible.
Oh,
that's one of my favorite episodes.
Oh my gosh. So lowbrow, but so... Something about it just hits.
Yeah,
it's lowbrow comedy. Timmery, to answer your first question about helpful behaviors of friends or family, I don't really know. That's an
Isn't that a hard question?
That's a really hard question.
And it's hard to not call that. If you need to call me out, go ahead.
No, I don't think I need to call you out. I think... I think what's so interesting is that the first thing that came to mind when I'm reading this is that there's a helpful behavior that is definitely supposed to be and designed to be helpful in the long run. See, I am going to call you out now. But no, it's fine. But my eating disordered brain and like the disordered voice in my head, like, will interpret this behavior as just like infinitely annoying and frustrating because it doesn't give in to the disorder and the disordered thoughts and like what this thing like wants. And that's like if I'm engaging in something called body checking, which is like looking at my body to see if it looks any different than the last time I took notice of it, or maybe like feeling, like physically feeling my body, and engaging in that sort of like compulsatory. I know I had a tough time saying that word last week. I'm having a tough time saying it.
No, that was compartmentalized.
Oh, compartmentalized. Oopsie. So compulsatory. Words Sam can't say. They're in a list. But compulsatory, right? That's how I pronounce it.
I don't know.
Well, I'm going to go with it. You can correct me in the comments if I'm wrong. But engaging in, like, this behavior of constantly looking to see, like, am I different? Have I changed?
Yeah.
And then my disorder will start manifesting, like, through me. And then I will start asking people, like, do I look different to you? I feel like I've gained weight. I feel like my body's changed so much. And you...
Bum, bum, bum!
You, Maggie, will, like, be like, it's not helpful for me to tell you. And I know that. Like, rationally, I know that. But then, like, the eating disorder inside is like, God damn it, just tell me! Like, freaking Godzilla, like, roaring in my head. Sometimes I feel like... It's like the second season of Stranger Things where Will got possessed by the mind flayer and it's like dictating all of his actions and like what he does. And like obviously that's not totally or really at all like what's happening. And even if I were to make that comparison, I feel like it would apply to my life much more like 5 years ago. Or even 6 years ago when I went through partial hospitalization and IOP, like the eating disorder was definitely much more a part of my decision making in terms of like, am I going to socialize with these friends? Am I going to go out to dinner? 6 years ago, it would have been like a hard pass. I'm not going to do that. And now it's like, this is just fucking normal life. It's like going out and eating lobster rolls and spending time with my friends. Right? Like, that's just a part of it.
Yeah, that's it.
And it's supposed to be fun, and it is fun, so I'm going to allow myself to engage in that more. But I know that these behaviors, like Maggie telling me, like, I'm not going to entertain this, I'm not going to address this, is helpful. It's not, like, quote-unquote helpful.
Yeah.
It's helpful.
That's not what you want.
Exactly.
That's not the answer I want.
It's not like what I wanted to hear in that moment, but I know that it is helpful in the long run. I can't really think of anything off of the top of my head that is designed to be helpful, but comes across differently. I'm sure there's definitely like examples of that.
That's such a hard one to think of. That was such a tricky question, Timmery. So smart.
I feel like because when people are doing things, whether it's your friend or a family member or even a random stranger, they probably don't even realize what they're saying is bothering you,
yeah.
Right? Like, and they're not even acknowledging like the thought patterns that exist in your brain and maybe some of the destructive thought patterns that you're trying all the time to dismantle or deconstruct. Like, they're not thinking about it. So like, I have a lot of family that will talk diets or body types. And I don't think they realize when they mention anything that it's triggering to me, you know? And then I just kind of let it go. And I'm like, this is something that unfortunately a lot of people have a specific way of thinking about diets, exercise, the way people look. And I definitely try to challenge that in terms of maybe things that I post online or things that I maybe say to people. But at the end of the day, I can't, like...
Can't change the world,
Jack. I can't fault people for having a particular thought process about something when that's been the only way that they've ever looked at it, you know, and they never... and society never gave them another path to go down to interpret something differently or more effectively or more inclusive... Lee?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, is that a word?
I'm not giving you any hints anymore with
words. Oh, no. That's not fun. I need some help. You know who I need right now? I need that paperclip from Microsoft Word to come down and be like,
Clippy.
Clip, clip.
Magic Clip. Whatever his stupid name was.
I think it was Clippy.
They don't have him anymore, I think. They got rid of him.
He needs to come back. All right, Timmery, thank you so much. Thank you so much for writing. We really appreciate this question. It was super thought-provoking for both of us. And thank you so much. We love you.
We love you. This next question is from Aunt Renee from Floral Park.
And that's my Aunt Renee, by the way.
Yes. I have not listened to your podcast yet, but I will get there. So this may be something you've already talked about, but recently I've coupled journaling with beginning yoga to help me with my recovery process. I struggled with journaling before, but as I have come into different stages, I am finding guided journaling beneficial. What are some activities you've engaged in to move your recovery along? I think what you're doing is wonderful, not only for yourselves and for your own healing process, but putting it out there for others to benefit, to listen to, and to think about. You never know the impact you are making in others just by being honest. So proud of you both.
Thank you for writing it, Renee. That was a really sweet question.
It was.
And yeah, just thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I always wanted to be the guy that can journal.
Like a journaling pro.
Yeah, like just really get my life in order. I buy these journals. I'm like, this is going to change everything.
So how are you doing with your journal that you bought?
Not good.
So, is your journal that you bought from Etsy? Did you buy it from Etsy?
Yeah.
Can we tag the seller in our...
I think it's like a company that sells on Etsy.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know what I mean?
Never mind.
Fuck them.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Well, their journal didn't fix shit.
Well, that's not how journals work, Maggie.
I just spilled... No. This is my last good white t-shirt. Wow, you're getting a lot of enjoyment out of this, huh?
Because it was just so cute, because it was like a little dribble on your chin, and then you were like, oh, like, you saw it happen, but you couldn't do jack shit about it.
Yeah, except for wipe my t-shirt on it.
Oh my goodness. But
I told you I had a drinking problem.
Hey, that's not a good joke.
Now Stitch is whining downstairs.
I know. Oh my goodness. Poor Stitch. What was I gonna say? Oh, no, you have a guided journal that you bought from Etsy.
Yes.
What sort of journal is it, like, in terms of its...
Well, it has, like, long-term, short-term, and medium-term goals. Okay. And then every morning you have to wake up and, like, write your daily goals on them.
Okay.
And also, like, what you're grateful for, thankful for. And you're supposed to, like, fill it out and every day. And I filled it out for, like, 2 days. I'm petting my dog, so if you hear weird doggy noises... Oh, and she's over it.
She's done with you now.
You're going to get some tippy-tappies in this podcast. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
And who doesn't like doggy tippy-tappies?
Baby.
I wonder what she wants.
I don't know.
Stitch. I think she's got to poop.
She might have to. That's how I get when I have to poop.
We can clear this out, too. Okay. That was pretty funny. Yeah, but I just, like, haven't been, I'm just, like, I need discipline. I don't know where to get this discipline that other people have, you know what I mean? But, I was thinking about the other parts of the question, too, like the yoga and stuff. I was just like, oh, man, I don't do any of that. I'm just so lazy. You know? I work, and that's it. And do things that I like to do, like Facebook raffles.
You do like a good Facebook raffle.
But I meditate and stuff. I've been trying to get more into it. But journaling is definitely something that is like, oh my god, I should do this. I feel like, you journal all the time, but you also cheat.
Well, that was what I was going to talk about, is that I have a guided journal that I use that's called like a 5-year journal, and it asks you a new question every day for 5 years. And I guess the purpose is so that you can see like where you've been and where you've gone in the 5 years that you've used the journal. But I definitely don't use it daily, and there'll be days where I'm like, I'm feeling a little antsy, I'm gonna go get my 5-year journal and like fill in the answers to questions that I've missed for the past 3 weeks because I don't
like ask me about a random day. What'd we do this day?
No, I don't.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I definitely don't do that. You liar.
Edit that out.
No.
Edit it out.
I want everybody to know that. No, I'm kidding. It's fine.
I thought you've done that to me before.
No.
I must be remembering wrong.
But yeah, there's journals that, like those guided journals that have the prompts. I really like those because they give me a purpose for my journaling and my writing. I do have just a journal that is completely blank, and I use sometimes for writing my feelings in. But sometimes, again, I get to repeat what you said, lazy. And the thing about journals that I don't love, that I know is not great, that I don't love this, is that they cannot validate your feelings. So if I'm writing something down, my journal is not going to be like, oh my god, that makes so much sense. No wonder you feel that way.
Wow, you're so smart.
But I also know that part of the growth is to be okay with sitting with the feelings and not having somebody tell you that what you're feeling is okay, and just trying to accept that what you're feeling is okay on your own. So that's work that I have to do. But other ways that I've try to get through recovery, or not get through recovery, because it sounds like something I'm enduring and this is something that's supposed to be really beneficial for my life.
I did want to comment on the move your recovery along, and I think that also you don't want to rush anything. And
I guess that's a good point.
As I've repeated a million times, like, you're not supposed to be anywhere.
I think in terms of moving recovery along, though, it's important to not get really complacent in a place of, sounded redundant, but not to get complacent. Yeah, I'm just going to use the same word again.
Okay,
in where you're at, and not wanting to push yourself to do more. Because I've definitely been in spots and in different different moments of my life where I felt like wherever I was at the time was the furthest I was going to get in my recovery. I wasn't going to get any better. I wasn't going to get any worse, maybe. I was sort of like plateauing.
Yeah.
And I was frustrated with myself because I wasn't frustrated about that. I know that sounds like
I get you.
Really weird.
But also then you've even said before, like, you thought you'd be done, mm-hmm. but there is no done, you know, there's
right.
no...
But I guess in terms of moving something along is that you always want to try to keep that momentum going, even in little tiny ways that maybe seem insignificant, but aren't. Because
yeah.
like committing to yourself and putting in the work is recovery.
Yeah.
That's exactly
like
what it is.
It's a journey. Mm-hmm. Even though I promise not to say the word journey again.
Don't stop.
Oh,
believe
boy.
It.
That will motivate me to stop using the word journey.
But the other thing that I definitely advocate for anyone in any recovery journey, whether it's against drug addiction or alcohol abuse or use or eating disorders, is the big T, and that is... therapy.
Tripod?
No, tripod.
I was trying to think of a funny word that started with T, and that's all that came out.
Tripod,
yeah, I know,
really?
Therapy. I feel like now you're talking to me.
Well, yes, but also to everybody. Because I think therapy is so, so important, and anyone in the world could benefit from it. You don't have to be suffering from an eating disorder or alcoholism or drug addiction or any sort of mental illness to benefit from it. You really don't. But the thing is, everybody's got something going on. So go talk to somebody about it. Like,
yeah.
It's really beneficial. I keep using that word. I'm not very good at varying my vocabulary.
My favorite scene from 30 Rock is when Jack Donaghy tells Liz that she should go get therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, do you get therapy? He's like, no, I crush it with my mind vice. And then she starts talking to Kenneth, and Kenneth ends up being a very good listener and therapist. So she starts talking to Kenneth. And then Jack comes in and he's like, this is your therapist? He can't handle this. Look at the shape of his brain. And then you end up, he's like drawing doodles of the same word over and over again. Like he's lost his mind listening to Liz's problems.
Wow.
Yeah. It has no bearing on this conversation. No. I just really like that episode of 30 Rock.
It made me think about like another thing that you want to consider is that like your friends are there to validate and support you and all of that. But like
but they are not your therapist.
Yeah, they're not your therapist. So you definitely want it. Go to a therapist.
Oh man, I have some friends that dump on me with their issues sometimes.
I've definitely been that friend before.
You're exhausting.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, that's not...
No, as long as you check in for other things too, and not
sure.
Just like, hey, how's it going? Haven't talked to you in 10 months. Let's dump all of these emotional
I'm not
problems.
Saying I currently am that friend. I'm just saying, like, there
you
have been moments
friend, yeah.
in my life where I've definitely been like,
oh
my god.
Oh, yeah,
god,
everybody.
I need something.
Venting. Remember when venting was a big word? Like, you'd be on AIM and you'd be like, can I just vent for a second?
Like that picture of the cat that's like...
It's like, my mom didn't let me do this today and blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, venting was such a big thing.
Yeah, it was. I feel like it's... still big, but maybe it's just because like
I'll have people be like, sorry, I vented. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
Oh my gosh. Well, at least you're honest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any other ideas for...
I'm trying to think. I just like sometimes I feel like a phony when I'm doing this because like I'm still so new in what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
That who am I to tell these people?
I know,
you know, and I struggle with that. And like, I'm just a jabroni trying not to drink too much liquor.
Or you're any. Doing, yeah, but you're
yeah.
doing a kick-ass job at that.
Yeah. But it's just hard, you know, because, like,
you know, who do I think I am telling these people how to go about their daily lives or like how to fix. I like being honest, and so I'm being honest. You know, sometimes I have a hard time thinking of what to say. And especially those two things, like, I'm terrible at journaling, and I've done yoga once, and I looked at the clock the entire time. It was horrible.
But that just means that maybe finding something else is, like, a good...
Yeah.
And I think, like, the hobbies component of recovery is a really great one. Like, I'm all for finding new ways to spend your time or to distract yourself or cope. That's actually something that I think we should talk about more. Not now. Yeah. But, like, coping mechanisms, because that's really what recovery is all about. It's identifying a coping mechanism that has been effective for you, but is deteriorating the quality of your life and is making you sick. So you're looking to other coping mechanisms that are healthy and sustainable to try to deal with hardship, because up until this point, hardship has been dealt with by engaging in too much alcohol consumption or not eating enough or exercising too much, right? Like,
yeah,
that's what this all kind of boils down to. So those sorts of activities or what's another word for activities? I was going to say, oh, I know, activities. But like those sorts of what did my aunt write? She said activities, see?
Activities is the word. You don't need to say an and, I guess.
Okay, so those sorts of activities are the ones that we're looking towards to try to help deal with hardship in a way that's healthy and effective.
Yeah.
Instead of something that is effective but very unhealthy.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, we can talk more about coping. I feel like that's maybe what we should have been talking about the whole time, but we can probably check in about it another time.
No, that's okay. I mean, it's just such a good question. And so was my cousin's. These were two hard questions for me. Mm. One, because I can't really identify this too much with that one. And two, like, that was, like, a really good question, but also, like, hard to identify when someone is, like, quote-unquote, trying to help, you know? So, like, both of these questions were a tough one for me. I had been sitting on them for a while. What was I gonna say? I've never been a good journaler. Like, I always feel corny when I'm writing in a diary. Dear diary, Melissa stole my pen. That's, like, how I feel when I'm writing a diary, you know? Like, and I'll go, and I'll even try, and then a few years later, I'll go back and read. I'm like, what melodramatic nonsense this is.
Sometimes I'll go back. I know, but then you're, like, invalidating your own experience that felt very real to you at the time. So it's important to, like, approach yourself with empathy or sympathy or something. Right? Compassion.
You said something.
Compassion.
You said something good about that when we were going to meet your friend yesterday, that you did, like, this workshop where you had to stand in front of somebody and talk to them the way that you would talk to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very uncomfortable.
Oh, it is so unnerving. We'll save that for another time, too.
I know. But I was thinking about that because sometimes, like, my inner pep talks, I think I've talked about this, like, my inner pep talks are pretty rough. Like,
yeah, mine too.
Get
for
up,
sure.
You stupid bitch. Like, if I and said you that would, to you.
Right? Like, it's just so, like, it's not at all, like, sometimes the way we talk to ourselves.
Definitely need some more self compassion.
Or not at all the way we would talk to our loved ones. So, yeah it's definitely. You know what
stop
that means.
Stop whining, you baby.
No, I was going to say. You know what that means? We got to move on to the affirmation of the day.
Is that what Stitch is saying?
She's like, shut up and please get on with it. Get on with it. Hey, baby. Oh, she's so cute. Look at that little face.
Oh, my God.
Shake it out, bitch.
Shake it out, bitch.
Alrighty, so thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you, Aunt Renee, for writing this question in. We love you so much. And we're also very proud of you for admitting being forthcoming with your story and your journey. And we love you so much, and we appreciate you being candid with us about your experience. So thank you.
Don't stop believing.
Did I say journey?
Listen to that feeling. Check the tapes. I love being able to say that. Check the tapes. You said journey.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I believe you. Alrighty, folks. So
what a rough transition.
I know.
I believe you.
It's like you.
All right.
Whatever. I don't care. So that brings us to the affirmation of the day. I'm going to pull it up right now. So this affirmation of the day comes from an Instagram account by Sam Dylan Finch. It's all one word on Instagram. You can follow this person. I'm not sure of what their pronouns are, so I'm going to just go with the gender neutral they, them for now, which I don't know if that's okay to do or not, but I don't want to assume. I don't know. I'm doing my best. Sam Dylan Finch is a mental health writer and recovery coach. And what I'm going to share today is trusting our bodies is a radical act. To turn inward and say, there is wisdom here, is a powerful reclaiming. To dig our heels in and say, I am worthy, is a gorgeous rebellion. Every deliberate and defiant bite of food is healing the parts of you that were shamed into the shadows. Become the light.
Nice.
What do you think?
It's a nice one. What do you think?
No, I want you to talk first.
Okay, well, let me read it. A lot of words.
I know, it was a wordy one, but I saw it and I thought it was just a nice, powerful.
Yeah, I just think that we are, like, from a biological standpoint, like, we're pretty badass. You know what I mean? We have all of these functions going on inside, like, you know. We're not even photosynthesizing, and we're still pretty badass, you know? I think that's the most, truly, the most badass form of being alive there is.
So if we can go out and make food from the sun.
If you can make food from the sun, you're badass. But if you can't, we're a close second.
Oh, boy. Okay.
But I was, like, reading something, and it doesn't have anything to do with this disordered eating or anything like that. It was, like, more about, like, meditation, anxiety and stuff, and that when people are having anxiety, I haven't had to try this yet. I haven't had the opportunity lately. I've been fine. Where they just go, I'm just gonna let my body handle it, like, because your body can take a fucking beating.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you watch hockey, but it can take a fucking beating. So, like, to trust your body and just be like, you take this, because right now I can't. And it's, like, such a really interesting concept, because, like, if you think about it, our bodies are made to be badass.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to treat it, I feel like you should be treating it with, like, the respect it deserves.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Agreed.
Like, this thing keeps you upright. It keeps you rolling. It keeps you walking. It stands you up, like, and it heals itself to an extent, you know? And, act like it, you know? But I don't know if that's, like, really relevant to what he's saying, but that's hard for me because I don't have a history with that.
No, I think it absolutely is relevant because the nature of an eating disorder for some people is to not engage in eating,
yeah,
right? Like, to starve yourself. And when it comes right down to it, like, your body needs food to sustain itself
you
in a healthy way.
Photosynthesize.
You, well, yeah, like, you can't do that, but, like, on a real note, like, you need food to survive.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like a luxury. It's a necessity.
Yeah, it's not.
So,
like, I'm just gonna eat for fun. It's like, no, you have to eat.
Right. So to deprive yourself of that food is an unloving act.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you need to be able to take care of yourself. So eating is, like, it sounds so stupid, but eating is the way to do that. And I picked this particular affirmation because it uses words like radical. and gorgeous, or gorgeous rebellion. I really liked that. Like, saying that you are worthy, I am worthy, is a gorgeous rebellion. I just thought that was really, really important and a really profound and beautiful way to say that. So,
and it's also, like, objectively true, because...
I'm snapping my fingers. I love that.
It's objectively true because everything in this world, and we've talked about this before, everything in this world, I feel, marketing-wise, to get your money, is through ways to show or try to prove to you that you aren't worthy without this, or you're mm-hmm. not worthy if you don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole you're not worthy idea, or you could be better, or you're not good enough, has definitely been, like, thrown at us forever from whoever this giant entity may be. Society, capitalism, whatever you want. And now I'm getting a little crazy.
But, nah, you're fine.
It is...
So is the dog.
Someone's really loving herself right now. Stitch, stop. Why must you do these things?
Oh my goodness.
She's a freak. Like, why do I let this happen?
Do you want me to pause?
No.
All right.
Okay. Hey, get away from that. Come here. You'll edit this out.
Mm-hmm.
And to be okay with who you are is to not buy into that bullshit, which is like a rebellion and a rebellious act. And it also is something that I read a lot on, like, with not drinking. It's like, it's a rebellion against what society pushes and says mm-hmm. is a complete norm.
Right.
And you are rebelling. And also, if you want to get, like, real crazy, you are not dampening your righteous and rebellious nature by not drinking, which makes you harder to, like, this is a very... crazy idea, but it makes you harder to oppress. Stitch, stop.
You came out the gate with something so, like, so, like, thought-provoking, and then you're like, hey, over there.
Hey, stop humping the pillows over there. It's a really gross, you know, new habit you've gotten yourself into. But, like, it's from, like, Iraq, like, so it just reminded me of that, all these people online, like, I find some pretty niche subreddits, you know, mm-hmm. like, non-drinking anarchy and stuff like that, just because it is kind of, like, a fuck you to, like, what society says is normal, and it's absolutely not. And the same thing with you not feeling like you're worthy is kind of what they wanted. And they, who's they, I don't know, is it, like... the people in rooms trying to sell all of these beauty products, or is it people in rooms trying to sell you all of these things? But their main goal is to make you feel like you need things to be better.
Right. Like,
and I suffer
enough
from that as well when it comes to, like, my materialism. Like, I need these things and I will be, like, where I want to be. It never works. And it's the same thing with that. Like, you could do all these new workouts, you can do all these new diet fads, and you'll never be where you want to be, because they'll keep pushing the idea that you aren't, and there is nowhere you want to be.
And also because diets don't work.
Yeah.
That too.
And it's just like this...
Stitches.
We're having technical difficulties with... the beautifully rebellious dog.
She's, like, really just chilling today and loving it.
Yeah. That's all I have to say about that.
No, I think that was a really important point that you made, for sure. Because that's what... I mean, and I know we talked about it a couple weeks ago, so I don't want to, like, dive into this whole, like... capitalism tells you that you're not enough and you need more and blah blah blah, or materialism or whatever it is, but I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
So to be someone who maybe doesn't look like the way that society wants people to look, and to say, like, I'm enough the way I am,
yeah,
is something that is so momentous, and I feel like people, they recognize it for like that 5 minutes, and then whatever, 5 minutes later, they'll go back to trying to body shame people.
Yeah.
Or whatever the case is, you know? So I think the more people see this sort of content, the more normal this way of thinking will hopefully become.
Yeah.
So that's why I selected that.
Hell yeah. Does your back hurt?
No, what?
Does your back hurt?
A little.
From carrying this episode?
Oh. Stop it, you.
How was that delivery? Was that good?
Yeah.
Nice. I'm like Norm MacDonald over here.
Yeah, it was alright.
It was okay.
It was like an 8.
Does your back hurt?
Oh, can you do, Sean Connery?
Does your back hurt? Because you've been carrying this episode. I only really know the things he said in SNL.
I know, like, I know. It's like the
Your mother, Trebek.
Alrighty. Are you ready to wrap this bitch up today?
I am.
I am so ready. Not to say that I don't enjoy this time with you, but Stitch really needs some attention right now.
She does.
You can follow us on Instagram at ShowYourselfPod. Feel free to DM us, tag us in your favorite recovery posts, and submit your recovery-related questions to be featured on the podcast in the future. Just click on the link in our bio to submit questions for upcoming episodes.
Please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends about us. We aim to reach as many people as possible, and your engagement with us online will help us do just that.
We're really glad you listened in with us today and hope you'll join us next time as we continue to show ourselves by growing and learning from each other.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks.
Peace out, bitches.
Don't call them bitches.
All right. Peach. Peace.
Peach out.
Peach out.
We're going to play Smash.